Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers, and welcome to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. As you heard Josh, our producer, say, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Every week, I discuss different workforce issues that come up. People write to me, and they say, hey, Pete, I'm dealing with this issue in the workplace, or I want to get a raise or a promotion, or, you know, I'm looking for a new job. What do I do, Pete? Or the guy sitting next to me smells. How do I address that? I'm being a little silly, but guys, if you have a workforce issue that you would like me to address live on the air, just write to me, Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com, and I always do my best to answer you just as fast as I can. But sometimes I don't get to you fast enough, and our producer Josh says, Pete, we got a bunch of questions that need to be answered right here in the mailbag, and we read your questions live on the air, and I answer them. So if you ever have anything you'd like me to address on this show, you know, something difficult. I don't know. All kinds of different scenarios. You write it to me and I will tell you the best course of action because I typically know it. I've been in staffing for many years. A lot of you know, if you're a frequent listener, you know that I run a staffing agency right here in town. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I have found jobs for over 20,000 people. Okay. It's a lot of people. I can say that. I don't know how many people can say that. I've dealt with every workforce issue that's out there. And trust me, I believe at this point in my career, I've seen it all. And each week, I do have some great guests on, and they're Jacksonville's most influential people. They're leaders, business executives, and we ask their perspective. Another thing we do on this show that I believe is unique is I share with you personal stories, not always good ones, that have happened to me along the way. And I'll tell you stories where perhaps I've skinned my knees or I've taken a left where I should have taken a right in my career and I got bad results. And I tell you this stuff not to just beat myself up, but I want you to learn from it. Listen, my guests do the same thing. They'll share with you their personal journey where they've made mistakes. But as we talk through it, we talk about what should have been done and what you can do to not step in the doggone potholes that we've stepped in. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Now, every week I start off with a little story. I want you to get to know me better and, you know, how I'm wired and why I'm wired this way. The show is called Hard Worker. And it's hard worker because I'm from Massachusetts. You know, I don't say hard worker. I always said hard worker. And where I grew up, northeast of Boston in a little town called Tewksbury, Massachusetts, a solidly blue-collar town. It was a great place to grow up. It really was. Tewksbury's changed a whole lot over the years. It's grown quite a bit, and I don't even recognize it. I mean, it's different. It's different in a good way, but it's grown quite a bit. I guess the word got out that it's a great place. But the best compliment you could give somebody from Tewksbury when I grew up there wasn't that, oh, Pete, he's the smartest, or he's the best at this, and most athletic, and he's the richest. The best compliment you could give somebody from Tewksbury, Massachusetts was, oh, that Peter, he's a hard worker. Oh, he's a hard worker. That meant so much to hear. So I've taken that approach in my jobs and life. No matter what our workstation is, no matter what we are doing, we have to give it our best. Give it our all from buzzer to buzzer. You know, if your name is not on the sign outside of your building, you owe your employer your best. Even if you're not going to be in that job forever, this is what I tell people. If you're going to coast, coasting is not a smart idea because even though you're not going to be in that job forever, the person that's your boss right now or might be your boss down, or whoever is your boss right now, okay, things change. And, you know, if you're not giving it your all and they see you're lackadaisical or you come in late, you leave early, all that nonsense, things change and you go to get another job and that person that was sitting right next to you is all of a sudden the hiring manager over there. And they'll say, yeah, you know what, that PETA, he wasn't a hard worker. I'm not going to hire this person here. So I tell you, always give it your all. And you could take a job that you're not really happy at, and by giving your best, all of a sudden you get promoted or someone notices you and appreciates you, and you move up the rung into something that maybe you're happier with. And that's important. Guys, a lot of you know my story. When I graduated high school, college really wasn't an option for me, so I joined the Navy. And, you know, the Navy was great to me. And the Navy did a lot of good things for me. And in turn, they got a hardworking young man that did everything he could to better himself and do a great job in the Navy. In the military, I learned unquestioned reliability. When they call general quarters, man your battle stations, it's not okay to be unreliable and to just say, you know what, I'm not going to show up today, or you know what, I'm not feeling it. That's the big thing about the military, is understanding your sense of mission and having that unquestioned reliability. I want to tell you a little funny story here, and then I'm going to introduce my guest. But I used to be a wrestler, and I wrestled all around the world, and I was good. And then I got heavy, and I was a heavyweight wrestler, and I wrestled super heavyweights, and that's anything above 235 pounds for, I guess, about 7 years. And when I was in the Navy, I had an open bet with everybody and said, if anybody can beat me wrestling, I'm going to pay you $20. And I put up notices around and I just had this open challenge. And then, you know, every probably about 3 or 4 months, somebody checks in and says, oh, I'm a NCAA Division I wrestling. Yeah. You got $20. Let's go wrestle. And I beat everybody. And I even pinned this guy in a USA singlet. I was really proud. But this guy, Kerry Powell, Kerry, if you're out there, you know the story, and I challenge you again. But Kerry says, you know what, Pete, I was a state champion wrestler, and, you know, I'm going to kill you. And this was a big guy, really, really scary, scary looking guy. He had the bruiser forehead, a predominant nose, and a mustache that rivaled all mustaches. You couldn't even see his mouth. His mustache was so big, and that just made him even more intimidating. But Kerry says he's going to beat me, and then he put up pictures of him holding me up by my neck with my little chicken legs dangling. Kerry Powell had me like that. He had the picture. So everybody kind of had this big old side bet that Kerry Powell was going to beat me. But you know, Kerry Powell, you lost in the first round. You didn't last 30 seconds, okay? I tell these stories, why? Because you guys know that as being a hard worker is something that translated to every area of my life. And the Navy also gave me something special. Beyond the sense of mission and the unquestioned reliability is the camaraderie, the fun that we had. Even Kerry Powell all these years later, you know what, call me Kerry, let's go drink a beer. We had a lot of fun together. And one thing that you guys know I am a veterans advocate, because I took advantage of the military. Not only did I learn those great things I talked about, but I made lifelong friendships. But I also have, you know, when I go to work, I'm not going to be the last one in. I'm always the first one in. That's a military trait. I'm not going to be late, because, you know, They had a lot of things that would discourage you from being late in the military to the point where you're never late. So I was never late, and I never am. But I attack my job with a sense of mission, a sense of purpose. And I believe Navy veterans, the overwhelming military veterans that are out there, when they transition into the workforce, they have different skill sets and beliefs that the general populace just doesn't have. And I'm not just saying this from my own personal experience. I'm saying from all the veterans that I've helped place over the years and the ones I continue to place. If you do not have a program at your work where you specifically look at hiring veterans, you're missing out, because this population did a lot for you. Number one, we owe them a debt of gratitude. We owe them an enormous thank you for the service that they provided to our country, and we thank them for the very freedoms that we enjoy day in and day out. You ever watch those on the TV where the dad comes back or the mom comes back? She was serving overseas. Do you see the genuine love and affection that they get from their family? We should all be out there thanking them and hugging them just like that, because we can breathe all this air and we have these freedoms because of them. I'm going to ask all you employers in town to listen up to this show. I have a couple special guests. I'm going to introduce them in just a minute. But there is something you can do. So you get your pen and paper ready today, and you're going to write down, jot down some notes, because I need you to do something differently as a result of the time that you spend listening to this show today. Oh, and guys, we have a great show for you today. As we do every week, I tell you, we have Jacksonville, some of Jacksonville's most influential people, and today is no different. My first guest right here to my left is Michelle McManaman. She is, are you executive director?
Correct.
Of Operation New Uniform? What is ONU?
Well, ONU, there's... Interesting. I'll tell you a little bit how it got started, and then we'll tell you a
little
bit about what
it is. Let's do that,
because
I want to know the whole origin of it. How did it get started? What does it do? What's your job? All the fun stuff.
How much time do we have again? I mean, we could be here all day.
Well, let's do it.
Should we get some breakfast?
We'll bump all the other programming. We're the top show. They want us. They want us to be on the air more. So let's just stay on all day.
Awesome. Well, I'll give you a little bit of the history. So going back a little over 5 years ago, my husband and I own a company called Sandler Training here in Jacksonville, North Florida.
Best training by far.
How do you know that?
Because I know, because I hire people that are graduates of Sandler. I know about the program because it's been around for quite a while. I worked for a kind of a pseudo competitor, Dale Carnegie Training, for a number of years and taught that. But I know Sandler is a top program.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, because that's going to tie into exactly what we're doing here with ONU. So if you go back a little over 5.5 years ago, my husband and I wanted to scholar a veteran through our program. We wanted to give back to the community. And as you know, Sandler is not a quick fix. We do long-term reinforcement, teaching people how to sell a product or service over time, because we don't believe that you can actually change habits overnight.
I agree 100%. You know, my background is in training and development, and I've always said you can't go get a shot in the arm and have a skill transfusion. You don't go to a 45-minute seminar and expect different habits to come out of that. Behaviors are learned, they're put into action, they're developed, and then they stay with you.
That's right. Perfect. Can I just hire you to go do these talks with me? So going back now, it's 15 years we were in the business. So 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, we wanted to scholar a veteran through the program. We called one of the large veteran organizations here in town and talked to them and said, you know, this is what we'd like to do. Do you know of a veteran that may be interested in? At the time, we were saying to get into sales, some kind of sales management. And they're like, well, we're not sure, but we have a new cohort that's graduating. Come in and talk to them and see if anybody's interested. I said, be happy to. So I figured the curriculum I'm going to put together is our Sandler stuff. We're going to teach them how to do a 30-second commercial on how to sell themselves. We're going to teach them some of the, you know, things like bonding and rapport and communication styles and mirror and matching and doing all those great things that we know in sales to be good. And as I was teaching this 30-second commercial, quite frankly, you would know this being a veteran yourself, I'm not a veteran. And I walked in a room thinking, I'm not really qualified to be talking to this group of veterans. I mean, they've done and seen things that I will never in my life do or see. So being in front of them, I was like, I'm a little nervous, wondering how I'm going to pull this one off. So I taught them this 30-second commercial. And shortly after it, I said, okay, now let's get you plugged in. Let's go practice this stuff. Who's with me? I'll take you to a chamber event. I'll take you to a business journal event. Anything in town, any networking event, pro bono, we'll take you there. And nobody wanted to go. Yeah. Can you imagine why?
Why?
Because they were scared to death. They would rather go back on the front lines than go practice this 30-second commercial to a bunch of strangers.
Do you know, I bet that would surprise the general population out there, the general workforce, that these military veterans that may even have been instructors and done this for years were nervous to get up in front of some chamber folks and give a presentation of themselves.
Really? Absolutely, 100%. So I was a little blown away at that moment. And one particular gentleman, his name was Reggie, looked at me and said, Michelle, I don't think you understand something. And I just told you how I felt walking in there, that I probably don't understand their world or your world at the time. But can you, I said, Reggie, explain to me what's going on. He goes, you know, when we take off these uniforms, people don't treat us the same. And at that moment, it was like a light bulb that went off. And I said, how interesting, because what that means to me in my world is that your identity is so tied to your role, then you don't know how to separate those two. So your role now as a veteran or as a military person leaving the military is so tied to who you are. And you can't now look and see yourself as anything but that.
Whoa! I'm going to tell you, I know that firsthand. Because my identity was my rank and my last name and my uniform. That was who I was. And when I got out of the military, and I like to think I'm smarter than the average bear, I might be giving myself extra credit here, but I came out in my very first two interviews that I had. One was for a claims examiner for an insurance company, and I forget what the other one was. But I failed at both of them. Mm-hmm. I failed at both of them. And a friend of mine, fortunately, had a brick paver service, and he said I could come work for him. And I worked for him for a year. I gave up on interviewing. And I worked laying brick pavers for over a year until I had no fingerprints. I only know that because then I got a job with Merrill Lynch. I finally, you know, I wanted to be in the white collar world. I had a college degree that I earned while I was in the Navy. And I gave up on interviewing because I had that immediate failure. And when the uniform came off, my confidence went with it.
100%. That's exactly why ONU exists today. And it's called ONU for that Operation New Uniform. The uniform is leaving the military uniform behind and getting in a new uniform, which is a business suit. And it's not that, please, anybody out there, we love you. We don't collect business suits. Thank you very much. But that's only the name is a mindset. It has nothing to do with suits themselves. So thank you in advance, but we won't accept them. We will get them to another veteran organization. But what that is really the mind shift change. Exactly what you said. We see that every day. The veterans themselves are saying to us, I'm throwing out resumes left and right. And it sounds like you gave up after two interviews. Well, I don't understand, because we have some that have gone through, you know, 10, 15, 20 interviews with thousands of resumes sent out, and now they're broken.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was a matter of I had a mortgage payment and I needed to work, and I had a job right there. So I always take the bird in the hand. I took the job right there. It was a job, not the job I wanted, but it paid the bills while I continued to look for other jobs. But I didn't look seriously for quite some time. I had to digest it and kind of, you know, see what the world outside of the military really looked like. And it took me a while to get a hold of the landscape and kind of even change my lingo a little bit, because I used military verbiage. You know, let's introduce our other guest. Yes. Sherita Jacobs, tell us a little bit about you. And I know I'm going to say this first. Thank you for your service. Tell us a little bit about you and what your role is with ONU.
Well, thank you so much. My role at ONU is Operations Specialist, and I actually graduated from Operation New Uniform Class 29 just last month. Now I'm on board. My experience as a veteran, as a transportation officer in the Army with years of experience, I got out of the military looking for a career. And I did land a career. However, 10 years in that career, I found myself at a layoff. And that layoff transpired into me accepting job after job after job, to the point where rejection began to overwhelm me. And I began to say, hey, I have this education. I have this master's degree in business. I have years of experience as a national sales account manager, years of experience working as a professional. However, I can't find my next career opportunity. One day, out of desperation, I began to search, and I found ONU. I sent in my application and went through the process, and gratefully, I was accepted into the program. Well, my life changed. As I say, Operation New Uniform allowed me an Operation New Me. I began to learn my identity again. It wasn't about me being a captain in the military anymore. It wasn't about me being even a mom or even a wife. I got my identity back. I'm Sherita, fearfully and wonderfully made. And ONU taught me that. They gave me my first name back. And because of it, I'm now on staff and looking forward to helping this great organization continue to grow and reach more veterans like myself.
That is awesome. Do you know, I attended graduating class 29. You stood out. I mean, everybody was incredibly impressive. People, you were very poignant, and you had a message that resonated with everybody. I'll do it damage if I tried to talk about exactly what you said. But I just remember people stood up in front of a group of people, and these are business leaders, community leaders in business that are, you know, potentially going to get them a job or hire them. And I was proud to be there. And I watched people represent themselves. And the way they, including you, Sherita, everybody was, you know, you had a really good, this is who I am. This is my value add. This is what I bring to the dance. It was quick. It was on point, and it was just so impressive. And this is something, and you know, how do business people, how can you become a part of ONU? Whether it's not always just about hiring veterans, I mean, that's a good thing, but how can community, the businesses in the community, get involved in ONU?
So I'm sure you hear this a lot, but that's a great question. And one of the main ways that I think is do exactly what you did. You went to a graduation. You got to see exactly firsthand what we do, how we're helping our veterans. June 7th is our next graduation, and it's at CIT. But you have to register through us, so we would love for you to go to our website at www.onuvets.org. And we'd be happy to register you to attend. There's no fee to attend. And you're going to see eight incredible, right, Sherita?
Yes, incredible.
Eight incredible new veterans that are going to be graduating, as well as some of our alum that have not found their perfect career yet. They'll be there. And we'll make sure that if you're an employer, if you're a business owner, if any way, shape, or form that you want to get involved with ONU, we'll make sure that we find a way to help you get involved.
Okay, and that is June 7th is the next graduating class. It's at CIT. And folks can go to www.onuvets.com to register. I'll also put that up on my website as well with a link over to yours so people can just jump on over if you didn't write that down or if you didn't have the pen with you and you got soap in your hair and you're kind of half listening, go to the website, my website too, and we'll make sure we post it up. And let's say people can't make the June 6th. Is there a way to donate to the organization?
Sure. And June 7th, because I want to make sure that we don't get that day confused. It's a Friday.
I'm horrible.
June 7th.
Hey,
don't worry about it.
I'll say something different about 8 minutes. June 7th.
Yes. It's a Friday. And is there other ways to get a hold of us? Sure. Beside going to the website, is that what your question was?
Sometimes people can't make it. It wouldn't fit into their schedule. Maybe they can donate to the cause somehow.
Sure. Yes, so the website is a perfect way to do it. The other way to do it is we have an event coming up November 8th at the Ponte Vedra Inn and Club, which is going to be our Heroes Dinner and a Show. You can be a sponsor of that. I'm going to be starting to call businesses in the community and say, how would you like to be involved? I'm looking at a very high-profile person to come and speak right now from D.C. that I'm praying that he's going to be able to do it, but I'm going to need sponsors to help bring him in. So if you want to get involved and you want to be a sponsor of a great speaker, I'm sure Pete's going to be there with his wife.
I'll be there. Pete the job guy will be there. I'll be giving out T-shirts to people.
Awesome. But we're going to make sure that it's going to be a fun night. That's another way. You can just be a veteran committed company. And with that being, we have different levels that you can get involved. And we would love to. I would have a personal conversation with anybody who wants to learn more.
Right. A lot of veterans, you know, you come out of, you're transitioning out of the military or even, you know, been out of the military for a while. The people that you are helping have some kind of pain, right? They're dealing with some kind of struggle. Walk through, maybe even Sherita, you can talk about yours, or, you know, let's hear what that real pain is. I told you what mine was. It was the rejection was killing me. You mentioned you had a couple of jobs. What's some of the things you see in maybe some of the other veterans too?
Well, that's a really good question. I can say personally, my pain was going to a job and not working to my full potential. I literally had an employer tell me that, you know, Sherita, I don't think that this role is a good fit for you. He saw that my walk was different, my talk was different, my dress was different, even my performance was different from the other employees there. And it's a lot had to do with, one, my professional background, and quite frankly, a lot of the different opportunities I learned within the military as an officer. I mean, I led a troop to war, brought all my soldiers back home safely, but yet and still, a lot of the roles that I was put into at the different jobs were very, very entry level, if you will. So the pain was accepting a job and not working to the full potential that I know that I have.
Right. You know, I want you guys to stay right there. That music that we hear, Okay, that's telling us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. If you would, please rejoin me at the second half here. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. And if you're just joining us, you missed a terrific first half. Guys, I want everybody to make sure if you missed the show, not everybody can commit to a whole hour every Sunday morning. Any show, including this show, you just go to my website and I load them up. It's probably Monday afternoon, late Monday afternoon. We get it loaded to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can click on episodes. So if you're not able to listen to the show live on Sunday mornings, you can always listen to the podcast on Mondays and then in perpetuity after that. But the first part of the show, I have two people from Operation New Uniform that are explaining all these great things that they do to help military veterans and help prepare them for this thing called the workforce and society outside of the military, because it's a big difference. Now, Michelle, Executive Director of ONU, what if I'm a veteran, which I am, but let's say I'm a veteran and I maybe I've been in some dead-end jobs or things aren't going right for me. How can I get in touch with ONU and just get the ball started?
Sure. So the one thing that you can do is go straight to our website. If you are honorably discharged and you need just some guidance, you got to try to figure out this whole landscape of how to go from where you are right now to get into this thing called the business community. If you want to get networked and understand how networking really works and how to sell yourself, go to our website, www.onuvets.org, and fill out the application. There is a spot there for veterans to go to fill out the application, and we will contact you. Again, the requirement that we have is that you just have to be honorably discharged. You have to have your paperwork to show that you were, and we'd be happy to have that conversation with you. That's really it. And, you know, Sharita can probably elaborate on the process, but more so what a veteran would do to be able to go through this.
So being a veteran myself, again, as Michelle alluded to, if you're out there trying to navigate this great, great big world of trying to find your next career, and you may find yourself, like I was once, searching, going from job to job to job, simply go to your computer, go to your laptop, your smartphone, go to ONUVets.org, www.onuvets.org. Read about the great things and the lives that's being changed being a part of Operation New Uniform. It has definitely changed my life, and I'm very confident that it will change your life as well.
Very good. Well, I want to hear some statistics are always great. Let's get some statistics, Michelle. How many people are you helping, and, you know, how many of the veterans that come through your program successfully transition to gain, you know, employment, good, solid career opportunities?
So these are very small classes. We usually have somewhere in the range of 8 to the max. We don't want more than 15. They get very personalized attention throughout the process. There's a 96% success rate of our veterans getting careers, not jobs, after they graduate our program, from anywhere from 3 to 4 months after they graduate our program, which is remarkable. There isn't anything out there like that. As a matter of fact, Congressman Rutherford just wrote a bill that's modeled after what we do to help veterans so we can potentially get some funding, because all of our funding, nothing from the government comes to us. Everything comes from private funding. So it's really important that you know that the work that we're doing out there is recognized by Congressman Rutherford, his team, the senators in town, all love what we do. Now it's just a matter of finding places to be able to support us financially to help this program go on. An average salary for one of our veterans is $65,000.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Not bad start, right. Especially when a lot of our veterans come to us and go, well, I guess I'll start at, and sometimes you hear things crazy like 30. And it's like, why would you do that? You're highly educated. You've led teams through, you know, crazy things, and you're going to settle for 30? So it's a mind shift change. And I'm looking at Sharita just nodding her head going, I know, I hear it, we see it. And it's difficult. So,
right. You know, I've lived this, and I'm going to talk to all the listeners right now. As a military veteran that struggled with the transition, that had pain, you know, that gave up after a couple of failed interview attempts and then took a job that was, you know, it felt beneath what I should be doing, especially coming out of the Navy where I was in a leadership position and you know, again, my identity was my last name and my rank and my job. And it was a difficult transition. What I've seen at ONU, the graduating class 29 were 8 of the sharpest people that are ready to add value to your organization. So I ask all you listeners out there, whatever you can do to support ONU, do it. Go to the website, www.onuvets.org, and participate. Come to the June 7th class. Sign up. Register. Talk to the folks at ONU. There's a lot of different ways to help, but I know as a veteran, I thank you for the service that you provide. And you know what? And I'm going to do whatever I can to help those veterans that I met that day. There's a couple that I'm working with right now. There's actually 3 that I'm trying like the dickens. So you employers, you know what? Call me, 904-713-2550. I run a staffing agency, and I help these guys. I'm happy to place them. I'll do whatever I can. Michelle, any parting thoughts?
I just am amazed at where God's led us to this point, to be able to help as many incredible people. You know, I knew we were doing wonderful stuff with the Sandler stuff before, but to be able to do this and use that information, to use David Sandler or David Mattson from Home Office donates every bit of material. I don't know if you know that. So I started that with you. So Sandler training material is used, copywritten stuff, to train our veterans on how to sell themselves. So, you know, with that, we feel blessed that there's so many organizations that are partnering with us, people, individuals, and we just thank you so much in advance for what you're doing. Thank you for having us on the show.
Oh, happy to have you. Sharita, any parting thoughts too?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have gone through the ONU program and graduating and now being on staff at ONU. I can say that ONU has changed my life, and ONU is going to change the world. We are going to grow by leaps and bounds, and I believe that. And I just thank the Lord for allowing this program to be here today.
Outstanding. I want to thank both of you for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Enjoy your Sundays, and thank you for the service you're providing to our veterans.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, I got a little bit of a curveball here. This has never happened before. In the mailbag, which is my email, you guys know if you ever need a workforce issue solved, resolved, or you just need some advice, you can always go to pete@petethejobguy.com, and I'm happy to help you. Well, I got a request in here from a business leader out of state, so that's good. I don't think there's a ton of listeners there, but we know we have at least one. And this person has engaged me, Pete the Job Guy, to step in, to call one of their employees and talk to this person about some HR issues. Now, the email was a little bit vague, but you know what? I'm not bashful. I'm going to dive right in. I got a phone number, a person to talk to. I have to dig in. I'm going to ask some questions to kind of identify what the issues are. And then I'm going to offer some advice to help resolve the issues and kind of fix the problem. So, Josh, our producer right now, if you would please ring up this individual. It's in upstate New York, and his name is, I've been green-lighted to do this on the air, is David Mosier. So go ahead and give him a call, Josh.
Hello.
Hey, may I please speak to David Mosier?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave, this is Pete the Job Guy. I'm calling from Florida. You know, Kim from your corporate HR department sent me a note and asked me to give you a call. And I understand there's been some challenges, or at least from her eyes, she's had some challenges with you. And I was just calling to find out what's going on and see how I can help.
Who's this again?
My name is Pete Langlois. My friends call me Pete the Job Guy, and you can call me Pete the Job Guy. And I understand there's a little friction at the office, and I want to see how I can help you out.
What, did Kim from HR call you?
She did, yes.
That's so Kim.
Well, she called. She called to see how I can help. Like, I'm on your side, you know, and Kim's on your side, believe it or not, too. And we just want your work experience to be a little better than it is. But, you know, I'm hoping that I can uncork whatever issue there is and help you through it.
I cannot believe that she called you. When did she call you?
I don't think that's as material as what's going on. From your perspective, what's happening there?
Well, I've been having some difficulty with HR where I work with Kim and others. I don't know how much detail you guys discussed or whatever, but this goes back quite a ways where some of the policies, I don't know if she told you, but I'm at a manufacturing company in upstate New York, and I've been there quite a while. I'm an engineer there, and we've been going back and forth with some of the things at work. We've got kind of an aggressive HR department that's been imposing a lot of stuff with the employee policy and other kinds of things. There's been a lot of friction, so I'm a bit of a loss. So, for example, I read the HR policy very closely, and I didn't see anything per se in the policy that would prohibit me from bringing in certain animals or pets to work.
Animals and pets. Most employees.
Yeah, doesn't specifically say it. And see, this kind of couples with where I work. We have this thing called the wellness program where it's employees' morale and health and things. So I thought it dovetailed nicely with that program. So this is going back several weeks ago. I brought in a lynx to work. Now, before we go crazy, it has been declawed and it's been trained. It's not hasn't received therapy level certification yet, but it's been trained. I brought it into work and I kept on a leash the whole time in my cube, fed it, and didn't really, other than when I would get up and, maybe use the restroom or go to the cafeteria, didn't let it bother anybody. Well, it only lasted a little while before HR comes down on me and tells me that that's really not something that's appropriate for the workplace. And I tried to explain about the wellness program, and I could see the impact it was having on other employees, the joy it was bringing to other people. But they didn't see it that way. So we had this big thing going back and forth about this isn't allowed, even though it's not specified in policy.
Okay. First off, if I may, so you brought what's considered a big game cat into work. And because in your eyes, there's no specific policy that would prohibit you from bringing in a dangerous wild animal. And, this cat, this lynx, as you've described it, has been declawed. And although it doesn't have its therapy certification, it seemed to bring joy to the other people and not pure terror. But, here's the deal. Is employment policies aren't going to put specifically, okay, we're going to accept a llama, we can accept a giraffe, but we can't accept a lynx, okay? The thing is animals, it's the general population understands that you don't bring animals to work unless it's maybe a pet-friendly Friday, and then certain animals that they would bring in would be perhaps dogs. And in a manufacturing environment, I'm trying to find out where you thought, you, David Mosher, thought it was okay to bring in a lynx,
Okay. I mean, I think and I don't know you, so I don't want to judge, but it sounds like you're parroting back to me what HR has been saying to me. So seems like everybody's kind of on the same bandwagon with this thing here. But what I'm saying is that, it's kind of the common sense argument. You shouldn't bring a lynx to work.
Yes.
And I get that, but the proof is in the pudding that the cat was well received and went over well with my fellow employees. And some of the things that were cited, yes, the cat was also on the endangered species list. That was another kind of level of a problem. And then I was carrying a tranquilizer gun with me during the day in a holster. And that seemed to be, it kind of made it go to the next level, if you will, because the fact that I've got an endangered animal on the property, I'm carrying a tranquilizer gun. I guess there were some people that complained about the fact I had a holstered, what was perceived as a sidearm in the workplace, while I was walking a large cat in the cafeteria. Some people didn't respond well to that. But overall, I think is very positive for most people. I'm still not understanding where HR is coming from with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of different directions we can go with this. I think your intentions are very good. I mean, you want to bring joy to people. You had safety in mind when you brought an endangered wild cat into the workplace. And, you know, having a holstered sidearm with the tranquilizer gun, I thought it shows a lot of pre-thought and consideration for your fellow employees.
Yeah,
however, that is never going to be acceptable in the workplace. You know, number one, you don't bring animals in to the workplace. And I'm not siding with HR. What I'm doing here is just, you know, I'm going to just tell you that's never going to be acceptable to just decide to bring an animal to work, even if it's a domestic animal. It's certainly not a lynx. And then to also, you know, bringing in a sidearm with all that's going on in the world today, that could frighten some people and really scare them. And you should have, and by the right, they have the right to have you arrested on the spot. And I think you can see that Kim in HR, she was generous in, you know, allowing you to just be escorted and off without having the police actually arrest you. And
unfortunately, the story gets a little deeper.
Oh, boy.
By mid-morning, when I went to, you know, get my coffee and the word had spread and HR had come out, we have a guy who works at the company also that is a kind of a workaholic, has multiple jobs. So he works for a small police department in one of the towns up here, and he got up in arms, and I did get tased. So I was tased well in the cafeteria, and they quote escorted me out, but really I was dragged out after being tased. And so I wish it went a little more gracefully, but I got tased and dragged down the hallway, and they called the animal control and took the lynx. And so it didn't end really the way I saw it. Now, I've done my 30 days. They've asked me to stay away from work for 30 days. I've done that, and I'm back now. But things are a little uncomfortable in the workplace now, particularly with HR. They've made an entry in my personnel file, and now they're starting to bring up other things from the past. I got into some difficulty with them before by using the fitness center at the company site. I had at night conducted some of my own mixed martial arts training classes there, for the elderly. And I thought I was doing a bit of a community service, but I guess, you know, I wasn't supposed to be doing that. So I think that coupled with the cat is, you know, put me in a kind of a tough spot with HR now. So, and like I said, Kim, this is classic Kim that she would reach out and do this.
You know, a couple things, and I got about a minute, and I'm going to have to wrap it up here. But so I don't understand kind of the thought process where you thought it was okay to use the fitness, the wellness center at your office to teach mixed martial arts to elderly people. It's not your facility. They're not properly insured for that. The fact that you were tased.
I did it, first of all, I didn't charge, so I did it on a volunteer basis. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, it's still some liability there.
There's still some liability. I mean, these were people mostly in their 70s and 80s, and I tried to keep the program rigorous but not overdone. So it was only about a 4-hour class, maybe a good 45 minutes of intense stretching at the beginning of the class. We didn't even do full contact sparring until the second half of the class. And I tried to go by weight class and get, you know, I put all the ladies that were 90 pounds in one group and the guys that were maybe 110 in another group. And I had them wear lightweight gloves. The funny thing about the whole thing is after I got yelled at for doing it, I only had one person get KO'd. Just one.
Okay. Now, David, this is wrong on so many different levels, but, you know, I'm going to suggest that, you know, the help that you need is beyond what I can give you on this radio show. And I think, you know, while all your intentions seem to be valid and, you know, you're just trying to help.
Trying to do right by the company and give back and provide services and wellness. And it just doesn't, it seems like I'm going upstream here. They're just not well received. They're just not well received.
Here's what we're going to do is, David, I'm going to get, you know, I have your number, and what I'm going to do is, I'm going to, talk to some people I know, and I'm going to get back in touch with you and see if we can, help you and help your situation. But, you know, I think it was very good to talk to you this Sunday morning. I wish you all the best. And, I'll be in touch with you, very, very soon. Okay, David.
Okay. I appreciate it. You know, and don't let Kim at HR be telling you a whole bunch of stuff, because not everything she says is true.
Hey, she doesn't, Kim intimidate me. Now she's on your side. I told you that, Dave. She's on your side. She called me to help, and I'm going to do what I can to help, okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
All right, bye.
Wow. All you hard workers get that? All you listeners hear that? David's wrestling with some issues. I hope I helped him somewhat. But I'm going to tell you, being in the business as long as I have, I don't even get surprised anymore. I've been in the workforce so long, I've seen it all, and believe me, that was wonderful. That was something else. I'm going to shift gears completely right now and go to one of my favorite things, and it's going to get our Boston update from Boston Danny. And remember, if you have a special occasion, a birthday, or someone accomplished something and you want to recognize them for that, whatever they did, just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, go into the Boston Danny section under our weekly contributors, and fill out a little form that says, hey, Boston Danny, give a shout out to this person for this reason, and Boston Danny will give them a shout out like only Boston Danny can. And with no further ado, let's go to Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny from Boston here with your update. Hope you all are doing well, enjoying your spring. Seems like for me, ever since I got back from Florida, enjoying your beautiful weather, all it's done is rain up here. But we need the rain. It's bringing the green grass up, and the beautiful flowers are starting to come out, and the trees are looking good. So that's the best thing about it that we can do. Seems like it's rained for the past 10 weekends in a row up here, but we get through it because, well, we're from New England. So I like to talk about Boston and all the great things about it, but, you know, Boston's known for some infamous things too. You know, like the largest art heist in history, it occurred in Boston. On March 18, 1990, 13 items worth about $300 million were stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Isabella Stewart was a Victorian-era matron of the arts in Boston. And her and her husband went around and collected paintings and objects of art. And when she passed away, she donated it to the city of Boston as an art museum, along with her mansion in the Fenway. It's a great museum. It's a great take when you get up here. It's known the world over for it. So the art that was stolen was never recovered. And to this day, they're still looking for it. It's a subject of many, many FBI investigations. And you know how the crook snuck in? They dressed up as Boston police officers and tricked the security into letting them in. So, another big crime. In 1950, thieves robbed the Brinks headquarters and made off with about $2.7 million. That's about $26 million in today's dough. And this crime was also the subject of a great movie starring Peter Falk. It's called The Friends of Eddie Coyle. Filmed in Boston. It's a great take. Great way to spend a couple hours if you look it up. It's a good movie. I recommend it. So, you know, other things that's not so famous, we have the Boston Strangler. Everybody knows that story. Very tragic, the things he did. And even today, there's still some question, is Albert DeSalvo is really the Boston Strangler? Still up in news. Anyone got any hints of what's happening? You can always set it up, get it up to us, and we'll know more about it like you do. So I got some happy birthday shout-outs. Happy birthday to Matt Pierce from Sarah and the Boys. And to Casey Cummins from the Palm Island crew, they want you to have a happy birthday, and I want you to have a wicked pisser day too, and I hope all your wishes come through for you. We all love our birthday wishes. I also have a happy work anniversary to Jeff Chapkin. That's from his entire team. They think he's a great leader, and they couldn't do the job without you. Obviously, he's a hard worker that likes to inspire other hard workers, and that's just what we do. It's always great to be recognized. And we have a special shout out to Laurie Day. That's from Pete the Job Guy, who wants you to kick butt next week when you take over the show. And, you know, Danny's rooting for you, too. I hope you do wonderful. It's always a lot of fun, and you can just go with it. So, Jacksonville, brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoy your Sunday. Peter, I'll talk to you guys later, and everybody enjoy it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Boston. Denny, another gem. Guys, that's about all the time we have. That music tells us it's time to wrap up. I want to thank my guests, Michelle and Sharita from ONU, Operation New Uniform. Go to www.onuvets.org. You've just listened to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV.